Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude this current events briefing for September 6, 2017. This is part two of two about those meetings. But I want you to turn over to Genesis chapter 12 for a little 5-minute review here of something that's very important. The reason why I say that I believe the judgment of God on the United States of America hinges on our treatment of Israel is because of this text here in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. You ought to have it marked in your Bibles if you don't already. And it's the Lord talking to Abraham, beginning of verse 1. He says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land." Say that with me. Land. "That I will show thee." Verse 2, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." Now there's wicked false teachers out there. Name a few. Stephen Anderson's one. What I call an attention whore. He's always jumping in front of cameras so he can tell everybody that the Jews are not God's chosen people and that the government ought to be killing homosexuals and that sort of thing. That's what happens to you when you're not a dispensationalist and you pretend to be a preacher. Tex Mars is another one, well known, preaching this nonsense. But sadly, most of the mainline Christian denominations, the Catholics, the Protestants, most of their seminaries deny the Word of God. And this explains the coming death of America. I used to get upset at preachers when they talk about this, and I hope you don't get upset at me. But you know, as we say, I love you enough to tell you the truth. America's going to die. America is going to die. It's just a matter of when. Genesis 12:3 explains why. Read that with me. "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." You know, there's a movie out there called the Megiddo Code. It's an end-time movie put out by TBN. And in that movie, at the very end, the United States Army comes to basically save Israel, and then Jesus shows up too. Yeah. That the Greek term for that is baloney. And it's not going to happen that way. But America's fake news media will not tell you what our elites are doing to undermine Israel. And that's the gist right there. Right there. You may not be aware of it. And you can elect a good president. I believe Donald Trump is pro-Israel. But not all Jews are pro-Israel. And I question whether Jared Kushner is. Henry Kissinger was a Jew, and he was a Judas Iscariot, is what he was. Just because they're a Jew doesn't mean they're pro-Israel. And the elites that are not elected, but are bureaucrats serving in our government, are anti-Israel. Genesis 12, 1 through 3, by the way, is not a dispensational truth. A lot of people also, they'll try to claim that this was only to Abraham during that dispensation. This is an everlasting covenant. And it wasn't just to Abraham. We don't have time to run all the references, but we've done this study before. You can find it online. God made this promise to Abraham. He then made the promise to Isaac. He then made the promise to Jacob. He then made the promise to the sons of Jacob. And then all their offspring were the recipients of that promise and continue to be to this day. Never been rescinded. It's an everlasting covenant. And ignoring that covenants are not bound by dispensations is always a train wreck. And it's a deadly blow to the hyper-dispensationalists, if you know what I mean by that. But what I mean is there are covenants. There are dispensations. They're not the same thing. And so you have to respect that and understand that. And when you see a covenant, you take it on its own terms. And then dispensations is a whole other study. We don't have time to cover all that tonight. I hope most of you at least understand what I mean by that. But the deep state running America is anti-Israel. And that's one of the reasons why they are cleaning house, getting rid of Steve Bannon, getting rid of Gorka, getting rid of all the pro-Israel people in the Trump administration. Flynn is another one. They're going to get rid of everybody who's going to get in the way of the globalist agenda. That's what they're doing. And I'll say this publicly. I don't care. You know, someone thinks I'm crazy or not. I think they may have threatened Trump's life. I think Donald Trump may have been told that if he doesn't begin to go along with the globalists, they'll kill him. And you do some research, you'll find out that that's what they've done to presidents in the past. Rockefeller's part of the crowd, you're right. And in spite of Donald Trump, the powers in our government are working against Israel. And here's a couple of headlines. Well, actually, I want to take that back. These are things you won't see in the headlines. I said a couple of headlines, but you won't see this in the headlines. You got to dig. And you look for direct quotes. Don't listen to a reporter. And if he says an anonymous source says, and all that nonsense. But Washington has pressed Israel to take steps to boost the Palestinian economy and ease up on settlement expansion. That's Orwellian newspeak. What that means is they're pressuring Israel to allow Palestine to get more money so they can buy weapons. Why? Because they want war. They make money on war. War is a racket. Very few of our wars were ever necessary. And that's what it's all about. It says in this same article, but Kushner's arrival was clouded by a hint of disagreement with the Israeli government on Tuesday. You think so? After Netanyahu announced that ground had been broken for the first new Jewish settlement in the West Bank in two decades, State Department spokeswoman Heather Nauert said Trump's position is that, quote, unrestrained settlement activity is not helpful to the peace process, end quote. A, Donald Trump never said that. B, what that means is they want to part the land. They don't want the Jews to build on that land because they want to take it away and give it to the Arabs, the Muslims, the Palestinians. I have met with... This is another story. This is from Politico. It says, this is Abbas, the Palestinian leader. He says, I have met with Trump envoys about 20 times since the beginning of his term as President of the United States. He says, in a meeting with the left-wing Meretz party in Israel, according to a report in Haaretz, quote, every time they repeatedly stress to me how much they believe and are committed to a two-state solution and a halt to construction in the settlements. I have pleaded with them to say the same thing to Netanyahu, but they refrained. Why? Because that's the deep state position, not the Trump position. And the deep state, State Department, military, Pentagon, they want a two-state solution, which means more land going to the Muslims, Palestinians. And a halt to construction in the settlements, because they don't want them building on the land that they want to give away. Now, turn over to Joel. I got the wrong chapter. Joel 3. Go to Joel chapter 3. That's in the Old Testament. It's in the Minor Prophets, right before Amos. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum. All good books. Joel 3. He says, this prophecy says, beginning of verse 1, For behold, in those days and in that time when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem. That's now. That's bringing the Jews back in the land. Verse 2, read that. I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Now, this is God's long-suffering and patience. They scattered the Jews all over the world, not just in 70 A.D., but in 135 A.D., and then many, 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 many times over a period of 2,000 years. And if you will study World War II, just to get a little glimpse of what happened over a period of about 20 years with the Jews, they killed 6 million of them, and then those that still survived, they did not want to allow them to go back to their land. Go watch a movie called Exodus, or read the book, and see how after the Holocaust, how the Brits and the United States of America included, it wasn't Truman, but it was the State Department, the same wicked people who are in control now. And they basically wanted to force the Jews to go back to places like Poland where they were still being killed after the Holocaust. There's a payday coming. It says, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. And this will be what I call God's final solution to Gentile nations controlling Israel's land. Gentiles have tried to have their final solution with the Jews. God's going to have His final solution with the Gentiles. Verse 3 says, and they have cast lots for my people, and have given a boy for an harlot, and sold a girl for wine that they might drink. All that's just saying is through the years, they've been wheeling and dealing with the lives of the Jews. And they've sold them like a commodity, like chattel. And they're still doing it today. When these countries get together and talk about the Jews, they don't talk about justice. They don't talk about protecting the Jews and their land. It's all about oil and money. If you don't think this is happening right now, you're not informed or paying attention. And in verse 4 says, yea, and what have ye to do with me, O Tyre and Sidon, and all the coasts of Palestine? That's referring to Lebanon, where Hezbollah is, and they're about to go to war with Israel again. Watch that in the headlines here very soon. Hezbollah is amassing missiles and arms to go come south into Israel again. That's Tyre and that's Sidon. And then Palestine, that's the West Bank and Gaza. And those are the hot spots right now in Israel. The Bible reads like tomorrow's newspaper. You just got to know what you're reading. Amen? So Joel 3 refers to specifically the time of Jacob's trouble. He's going to bring all these nations into Jehoshaphat. But the principle of Genesis 12:3 remains. And that's what we read just a moment ago. I'll bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. So you think of Israel's conquerors. What happened to ancient Egypt? What happened to ancient Babylon? What happened to ancient Rome? What happened to the League of Nations? What happened to Nazi Germany? What happened to Great Britain? The sun used to not set on Great Britain. Now they're this, what did he say, not so great?
Brexit.
Brexit. Yeah. Great Britain ain't so great anymore. And I know, I don't want to upset, we've got some good believers over there in Britain. Not many, but there are some. And I'm not saying anything about your country, I'm not saying about my own. That America may be the superpower, but America's days are numbered. We're next on that list, I believe. I believe we're next. Number seven. Will America be next? She will be at some point. The only question is BR or AR? There you go. Before rapture or after rapture? That's the only question. Yeah. But something is going on right now in America.
And I'm just laying it on the table. I'm not making a pronouncement. But we've got hundreds of fires burning all over, not just out west. They're all over the country. This is a little map showing all the fires that are burning. And Alaska is just on fire. I was going to make a joke about what Jenny's birthday cake would look like if we'd have candles, but I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to bring that up. That ain't got no sense. They're saying Harvey's going to cost $180 billion, dozens dead. They don't know. I haven't seen a real number yet. I know they were approaching 100, but I don't know. Huh?
68.
$180 billion. And then you got Irma. It's a Category 5 heading towards Florida. And a little note there on your radar says that the radar can't tell you how fast the winds are going because they're over 130 miles per hour. They sent one of those airplanes in. What do they call the ones where the airplanes go in? Hurricane Hunter? I know. They get an airplane. They just fly in with gauges on the plane. And that's how they said that it was sustained winds of 158 with gusts over 200, somebody said? The worst winds I've ever knowingly been in was Ike. It was 70-some miles an hour. This is more than twice that. And that was scary.
Intense storm. This has been the top of the record books in terms of most intense wind speed. And now we've seen these 185 miles per hour winds for more than 24 hours, making it the longest, strongest storm on record. Nick?
Put a little perspective now on this wind. Because the San Francisco Hurricane Wind Scale goes, as you know, between a Category 1 and a Category 5 hurricane. And a lot of folks, you know, may be saying, I've experienced a Category 1, even a 2, meaning 96 miles per hour to 110 miles per hour. But a Category 5 is 157 or more, and of course, we are well within that with Hurricane Irma. But let me show you what compares to as far as the strength is concerned. It's not just, you know, Category 2 is not just twice as strong as a Category 1. Category 5 is not just 5 times as strong as Category 1. It's actually 500 times. So much of the area hit by a Category 5 is going to be uninhabitable for weeks or months to come.
Think about that. I didn't know that. I want to share that because I didn't know that. A Category 5 is 500 times stronger than a Category 1. And how do liberals in power react? They have a liberal in power down in U.S. Virgin Islands, and they ordered the seizure of privately owned guns and ammo. They did that in New Orleans. Now, let me tell you something, folks. The Second Amendment is not suspended when there's a hurricane. And they will not take my guns if we're ever hit by a big storm. And I will shoot back. I'm here to tell you that that's where I obey God, not man. And down there in New Orleans, I've seen video of what they did to those people down there. And I'm telling you, there'd be some cops would be dead or I'd be dead. And what we need are some men in this country again. We got a bunch of panty waists in this country right now. Just think the government owns you. Your government doesn't own you. You're not property of the U.S. government. And that's just sickening. Because all they're doing is making sure that the criminals have the guns to rape and kill at will once that storm goes through the Virgin Islands. This isn't Columbus, Ohio. When that storm gets through there, the unarmed people are going to be raped and killed. They're going to have their property taken from them. It's no joke. It's disgusting. But that's what liberals will do to this country if they have their way. Now this question, is this the judgment of God on America? We can only do the math and come to our own conclusions. I'm not up here stating emphatically that this is God's judgment on America for our sins. But to reject the possibility and deny it outright is, I think, unbiblical and I think unreasonable. And so that's why we're having this discussion. Our first response is to reflect on our own contribution to the condition of our nation. If you're a crook, we saw a lady get nailed shoplifting yesterday. Shoplifters are part of the reason your prices are so high. The same thing's true with morality. If you're a liar, if you're a thief, if you're a fornicator, if you're a sodomite, if you're committing sin in America, you're part of the problem. All of us have contributed somehow. But the question is, right now, are you living for the Lord? Or are you coming to church and then going out and being a complete hypocrite and committing sin and contributing to this whole thing? Psalm 51:10 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Psalm 139:24 says, "And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." And I say this again, ignorance and apathy, willful ignorance in some cases, is one of the greatest sins of America today. They don't know the Bible. They don't know the Constitution. They don't know what it even means to be American. And our next response is to preach the gospel, call for repentance, and pray for our nation. And we don't have enough people. We don't have enough people preaching the gospel. We've all done this. We went through this neighborhood going door to door, and numerous people said no one but a Jehovah's Witness had ever come to their door to present the gospel. I hear people all the time say, "What about those people in those remote tribes who have never heard the gospel?" I got people in Worthington, Ohio who haven't heard the gospel. I want to close by reading 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. "I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." Read verse 2 with me. "For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." That's all we want. Anybody, it might be a chance that a liberal, an Antifa, a BLM, politicians out there may be hearing this. If you just leave us alone, we'd have peace. That's all we want. Verse 3, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." Read verse 4 with me. "Who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth." Now that means it's his will that all men be saved. That's not teaching universalism, that verse is ripped out of context and all that. But read verse 5 now. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Read verse 6. "Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." And there you go. That's how you face these times, folks. We can look around and we can discern. We can make our own judgments. But we want to pray. We want to lift up the name of Jesus, preach the gospel. And that's what it means also to be testified in due time. That's what we're here to do. Amen? If you have any questions real quick, we've got a couple of minutes to spare. Got a little late start. Anybody want to ask a question about what we talked about tonight? Anybody? I'm going to ask one real quick that had been asked to me recently about this whole thing. How do you respond when someone quotes Matthew 5:45 to refute the idea that God uses weather to judge nations? in Matthew 5:45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. And people say, well, that right there proves that God doesn't send a hurricane or an earthquake to judge people. And my response is, again, that Greek term, baloney. Jesus said that to people who are still under the Mosaic law. And if you don't think God will use the weather to judge people and judge nations, go read the Mosaic law. He told His people, and He said about the nations around them, that if they continued to abort their children by throwing them on the arms of Molech, that He would kill them all. He would drive them from their land. He said, if you don't give my land a rest on the Sabbath and the 7-year Sabbaths for the land, I will run you out of here. And that's what He did in Babylon. He took them out, gave the land a rest, and after 70 years, let them go back. And over and over, God says, if you will continue and persist in this sin, I will judge you and I will bring down. He even talked about bringing hornets down on them as a judgment. So that's my response. Jesus is talking to those people. He's saying it's true that God does let the sun shine on the wicked and the just. It says right there. He sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. That doesn't mean He doesn't also judge men and nations with catastrophes and weather. Yeah, Charlie?
Well, God promised not to flood the whole earth or destroy the whole earth with water, but then He also did directly flood an entire economy.
Yeah.
It was very localized flood. He killed a lot of people.
And I have to laugh because just this week somebody said, well, if you're... If you claim to believe the Bible, but that this Harvey flood right there makes God a liar. He said He never flooded the earth again. And so they had to explain to him, no, that Harvey's a local flood. It was a big one, but it was Texas and only part of it. And God said He'd never flood the whole earth and kill everything with water. Next time it'll be fire. He's going to flood the earth again, but it'll be with fire next time. And it'll be global. Amen. That's another thing. He said, well, if the Noah's flood was only local, then I guess the final judgment's only local too.
Just local to earth.
Just local to earth, yeah. All right. By the way, there's other text you can read on this about God judging and dealing with man. Nahum 1, 2-7. Jude just talks about how he's going to judge the ungodly. Job 37, 1-24 is a very interesting passage. Isaiah 45, 5-10. Romans 9, 15 and 16.
The Lord bless thee.
The Lord bless thee.
And keep thee.
And keep thee.
The Lord make His face shine upon thee. The Lord bless thee.
Keep
it.